Luke chapter 18, verses 34 through 43. This is the reading of God's word. But the disciples understood none of these things, and the meaning of this statement was hidden from them, and they did not comprehend the things that were said. As Jesus was approaching Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. Now, hearing a crowd going by, he began to inquire what this was. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he called out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet. But he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. And when he came near, he questioned him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." Immediately, he regained his sight and began following him, glorifying God. And when all the people saw it, they gave praise to God. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious time that you have given to us to hear your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word, that we may truly hear and believe and obey your word. And Father, through your word, let us have that sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And through your word, let us see what has happened to us, the heavenly realities that our Lord has already accomplished for us to possess and enjoy. We pray by your grace that your word will be preached correctly, and all of us not only understand, but like we pray, that we obey your word. We pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, through the book of Luke, we are looking at our Lord Jesus Christ accomplishing the kingdom of God. Thus, as he is accomplishing the kingdom of God, the reality of that kingdom is being witnessed. And the reality of the citizens of that kingdom is being witnessed through what our Lord teaches and accomplishes. Like the tax collector, the citizens of the kingdom of God acknowledge that they are the sinners who truly deserve the eternal judgment of God and humble themselves before God, seeking the mercy of God. And like the children that we saw before, the citizens of the kingdom of God completely trust their heavenly Father, and they completely depend on him, and they happily receive the salvation of God as a gift. And they know very well that they are not able to save themselves. And the citizens of the kingdom of God, they participate in the sufferings of Jesus Christ, like we saw last time. Now, as you know, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is going to Jerusalem. And he's going there to die for his people. But in our passage, he now goes through a city called Jericho. So we begin our passage, verse 35. As Jesus was approaching Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. This is a story of Jesus healing a blind. And this event can be found also in Matthew and in Mark. And according to Mark, this blind person is a beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. But there in Mark and also in Matthew, this event, healing of Bartimaeus, happens as Jesus was leaving Jericho. But here in Mark, it happens as Jesus is approaching Jericho. And in Matthew, Jesus actually heals not just one, but two blind men. But here in Mark, we only see one. So this is the part of the Bible, a part of the Bible that is used a lot by the liberal scholars who want to say that the Bible is not Word of God, but just words of men. Thus, they say, the Bible has many errors. We saw many of these things, especially when we began looking at the book of Luke. And in the beginning, I tried to show you how we would see that the seemingly difference is not error, but there is a way to understand these things. And I've been doing that for about a few months, and I stopped because we take Bible as a word of God. So I don't have to prove it to you. Like I said, I'm not here to convince you. Only Holy Spirit can do that. But I'm here to proclaim what the Bible proclaims. And I do pray that God would convince you. This issue of whether Jesus heals two blind people rather than one is not that serious. Jesus could have healed many blinds, even three, even five. But Luke only focuses on one in his book and tells us about what happened to that one blind who was healed. The more serious issue is whether Jesus heals the blind as he was approaching the Jericho or as he was leaving the Jericho. There are many views that try to give us the solution. I give you a couple. One, at the time, there were two cities named Jericho. The New Jericho and the Old Jericho, and this is true if you go back and look up history, you will find that. And these two cities were very close by. The second solution, some people want to tell you, the Greek word that has been translated as approaching has neither sense of approaching or leaving, but that it just shows that Jesus was nearby. Actually, there are many other views that try to give the solution to the issues here, but none is very satisfying. Otherwise, I would brought it to you. I read many books on this, and they tried, but none were satisfying. However, we find our solution in the fact that the Bible is the Word of God, and that has been written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and that it has no error. And when we say Bible has no error, we're not talking about translations. Translations have errors. When we say there's no error in the Bible, we're talking about the original manuscript, the actual Ephesians that Paul has written. That one has no error. But it has been translated many times, and translation, Bible never says about translation being the by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So obviously it has error. But we believe that the Bible has no error. So there has to be something about our story that we just don't know at this time. And we know that this will never convince nor satisfy the non-believers. But like I said many times, our purpose is not to convince them. That's the Holy Spirit's job. The Holy Spirit who lives in me, He convinces me. He makes me believe. That's why I believe. We are here to proclaim. So we know that there will be a time that is coming in which the satisfying solutions to these kind of issues will be given to all of us. That day is coming. But Jesus is healing this blind near city called Jericho. Now this blind beggar, verse 36, now hearing a crowd going by, he began to inquire what this was. So this blind beggar hears a big crowd passing by and asks, what is going on? And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. At that, Luke chapter 18, verse 38 and 39, and he called out, saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet. But he kept crying out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. The blind cries out. But the people who are with him, they sternly telling him to be quiet. Simply, shut up. But the blind kept crying out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Psalm 50, verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will rescue you, and you will honor me. And here we see the difference in how the crowd know Jesus Christ and how the blind knows Jesus. To the crowd, our Lord Jesus is simply Jesus of Nazareth, meaning Jesus who is from Nazareth. But to the blind, our Lord Jesus is the Son of David. Big difference. The Son of David. The Old Testament is very clear that the Messiah who was promised by our God will be the Son of David. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So it is speaking of the Messiah who is coming. Messiah will come from the stem of Jesse, it says. Meaning that the Messiah will come from the descendant of Jesse. And who is Jesse? Well, he is the father of David. So the Messiah will be a descendant of King David. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12 and 13 and 16. When your days are complete, God is speaking to David, and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And verse 16, your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever. God promises that through the son of David, he will establish his kingdom. But the promise, if you read it, is not just in terms of this world, as you could see, but it is God's forever promise. The promised kingdom is a forever kingdom. Jeremiah 23, verse 5, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. And he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the king. So God's kingdom, God's promise is that through a descendant of David, God will establish the kingdom. Now, God fulfills this promise in two stages. First, typologically, through the earthly son of David, the King Solomon. God does fulfill this promise typologically, meaning earthly kingdom was established, Israel. But there's a second stage in which God fulfills this promise. He fulfills it eternally, and that through Jesus Christ. Thus, when we come to the New Testament, Jesus is introduced to us as the Son of David. The very first book of New Testament, Matthew, chapter 1, verse 1. It begins like this, the record of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David and son of Abraham. So as soon as you read that, you're going to read about Jesus Christ, but you understand he is the son of David that was promised. But we had son of David before, Solomon. But that was a typological. The eternal fulfillment of God's promise in the Old Testament is through Jesus Christ. So this is how you begin the New Testament. Jesus Christ, the Son of David. Romans chapter 1, verse 2 to 3, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh. Jesus was born of a descendant of David according to God's promise. The apostle, the same apostle Paul, also says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David according to my gospel. I could go on and on with so many verses that will tell you Jesus is the son of David. So, this blind beggar calling out to Jesus, son of David. Can you see that this cry of this blind is a cry of faith? He believes that Jesus is the Messiah. And obviously his gift I mean, his faith was a gift from God. That's why you and I believe. God gave us faith. It's not that we believe that we are saved. No, God saved us. That's why we believe. The gift that God has given, our faith. So I want you to see that as this beggar, this blind, calling out Jesus as the Son of David, he's crying out from faith. And this beggar blind, I mean, I don't need to explain this, but he is completely rejected by this world. Do you remember children being nuisance to his disciples? Well, this blind beggar is more nuisance than the children. The people rebuke him. They say, "Shut up, be quiet. You are embarrassing me." But this blind shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He knows that Jesus is his only hope. He knows that if Jesus just passes by, then he's done. This beggar is desperate and urgent. It is for him a life and death matter, meeting Jesus. Like I say, his cry is a cry of faith. His cry does not know any shame or embarrassment. Even today, if you diligently seek Jesus, then people around you will be embarrassed by you, they will say to you. They will say, "Shut up. You're embarrassing me." They will say, "Don't be a Jesus freak. I know you believe in Jesus and I know you love God, but what you do is just too much. Just calm down." Exactly same response that we see in the crowd, you will face. But for all of us who know that Jesus is our only hope, we don't care so much of shame that comes to us when we seek Jesus. Many times we're proud of it. Because without Jesus, we know we're eternally dead. Luke chapter 18, verse 40 through 42. "And Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. And when he came near, he questioned him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And he said, 'Lord, I want to regain my sight.' And Jesus said to him, 'Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well.'" You know, first time I read that verse, it was amazing grace. It says, Jesus stopped. The most insignificant person is crying out to Jesus. All the other people are pointing at him saying, "Be quiet, you're embarrassing us. This guy is crying out, and yet Jesus, the Almighty God, stop. Our God does not ignore him. It is amazing grace. When you cry out to God, he will not ignore you. I don't care how many people around you say you embarrass them. Jesus will not ignore you. Jesus does not ignore anyone who cries out to him. Psalm 105 verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call upon him. To all who call upon him in truth. Jesus commands that the beggar be brought to him. The beggar comes near. Mark chapter 10 verse 50. Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. As you know, he is a beggar. He probably did not own much. And he just throws away his cloak. Can't you see? He forsakes all to come out to Jesus. That is the picture. His creator calls him, and like a child, he comes to Jesus joyfully. And Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, let's think about this. Jesus says to you, "What do you want me to do for you?" What is your answer? Be very honest. What do you want Jesus to do for you? What do you expect? That when you follow Jesus, what do you expect to happen to you? You know, there are so many people who go to church, misunderstand what Bible is saying about what is it to be a Christian. What do you want him to do? He gave his life and he saved you from sin and from hell. What do you want from him? What do you want? In Mark, Jesus asked the same question to his disciples right before this event happened. Mark chapter 10, verse 36, and he said to them, disciples, "What do you want me to do for you?" They answered, they said to him, "Grant that we may sit one on your right and one on your left in your glory." Is that what you want? Their answer did not come from faith. They want the power and the authority of this world. Maybe you want money. What do you want Jesus to do for you? Well, he did all that I want already for me. He saved me. And not only just saved me, but he brought me near to him so that I could behold his face and have that fellowship of heaven now and forever. our answer should be, we want you. And I am satisfied with you and you alone. You're not satisfied with Christ and Christ alone? This blind says, Lord, I want to regain my sight. I want to see. He knows he is blind. Jesus says to him, receive your sight. And he says, your faith has made you well. Here we know that Jesus' healing is not just physical. Because Jesus says, your faith has made you well. We see from Old Testament, the blindness is a symbol of a sinner who does not know God and His truth. The condition of a sinner who is fallen in sin is described this way in Isaiah 59 verse 10. We grope among the wall like blind men. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at midday, as in the twilight. Among those who are vigorous, we are like dead men. Thus, this blind is not just seeking the worldly physical interest. He knows that he is blind. He knows that he is a sinner. The rich young ruler and the Pharisees that we saw before, they do not know that they are blind. We see that the blind's request is a request of faith. Thus Jesus says, your faith has made you well. Other translation, your faith has saved you. But Pharisees deny that they are blind. In John, we have another story in healing a blind. There Jesus says to Pharisees, John chapter 9, verse 40 and 41, those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, we are not blind too, are we? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say, we see, your sin remains. Since you say that you are not blind, since you say that you are not the sinners, your sin remains. So brothers and sisters in Christ, do you confess that you were blind? Do you confess that you are a sinner? Do you know how serious it is to think that you're okay without Jesus Christ? Without Jesus Christ, who could only make you see. I mean, who could, Him alone can make you see. Without Him, all are blind. Verse 43, immediately he gained his sight and began following him, glorifying God. And when all the people saw it, they gave praise to God. Immediately, he regained his sight. As soon as he sees, what does he do? This is the reality of all of us who now see in Jesus Christ. All who begin following Jesus Christ and glorifying God, and they all praise God. This is who we are in Jesus Christ. This is the story of Jesus healing a blind. It witnesses the coming of the kingdom of God. It witnesses that the Messiah has come and kingdom of God has begun. Luke chapter 8, verse 18 through 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable ear of the Lord. And verse 21, and he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Luke chapter 7, verse 22, and he answered and said to them, go and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the leper are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, look at what is happening. Look at what I'm doing. All these things are happening right now. And Jesus says, then if all those things are happening, then it means that the Messiah has come and the kingdom of God has begun. And that's what we are looking at. Jesus heals this blind. What does tell us? Well, the Messiah has come and the kingdom of God now begins. Because that's exactly what the Old Testament told us, what would happen when Messiah comes and when he comes to establish the kingdom of God. Do you see how this story of healing the blind is our story? You and I were the spiritual blind who were fallen in sin. As such, we dwell in darkness and we could not see the truth. We could not see heaven and we could not see our Lord Jesus Christ. We said, we see, but we could not see. The only thing that we could see was this sinful world. But you see, to us who are spiritual blind beggars, Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus, came and called us to Him and healed our blindness that we may see. He poured out His grace and gave us faith, so that we may believe that Jesus is our only hope. Jesus came and did not pass us by, but stopped and called us and made us to see and made us the citizens of His kingdom. Nothing less than the new creation has happened. Genesis chapter 1 verse 3, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. That is exactly what has happened in our passage. Receive your sight, and there we see. That is exactly what happened to us spiritually. Luke chapter 18, verse 34, but the disciples understood none of these things. And the meaning of this statement was hidden from them. And they did not comprehend the things that were said. From that reality of blindness, what has happened? Verse 43, immediately he regained his sight and began following him, glorifying God. And when all the people saw it, they gave praise to God. Let there be light, and there was light. That's exactly what we see in our passage. Let us remember what Jesus has done for us so that we may see. Mark 15 verse 33, when the sixth hour came, darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. This is when Jesus was dying on the cross. The darkness, the symbol of God's judgment. He dies on the cross. And do you remember Isaiah 59 verse 10? We grope along the wall like blind men. Because of our sins, we grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at midday as in the twilight. Among those who are vigorous, we are like dead men. The blindness is like being dead. Well, then, being dead is like being blind. Do you see it then? On the cross, Jesus Christ becomes blind as he dies on the cross. So that you and I may see. Brothers and sisters, you and I, we see in Jesus Christ. We see the truth, and we see heaven, and we see Jesus Christ through the eyes of faith. Which means that you and I are following Jesus Christ, glorifying God, and praising Him. Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, let us witness our heavenly reality of being the new creation in Jesus Christ as we live our lives here. You show to the whole world now you see. You see Jesus Christ. And you see His kingdom. And you see the truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We give You all the glory, honor, and power. Yes, we're blind, but You have gave us sight. We thank You. Because of what You have done, we now see. We see the truth. We see heaven, and we see Jesus Christ, our Lord, Savior, and God. And Father, let us witness to the whole world what You have done, what You have accomplished for us. We thank You. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.